Hey, my friend, I am really excited about this episode. I hope you're doing well and that you're holding up through the pandemic and all of that. I've been thinking a lot lately about how lonely and isolated we all are right now. And so I reached out to a Christian songwriter and worship leader named Tommy Walker. And you might not have heard of Tommy, but let me tell you a little bit about Tommy Walker. Tommy Walker is a worship leader, singer, songwriter, speaker, author. He served at his home church, the Christian Assembly in Los Angeles, for over 25 years. He's written over 200 songs that are licensed and tracked by the Christian songwriting organization, CCLI. And his songs are sung in churches around the world every week. There's some songs that have achieved some commercial success that you may have heard of. He Knows My Name, That's Why We Praise Him, These Things Are True of You, Only a God Like You, I Have a Hope, bunch of songs that have been pretty popular and played on the radio, etc. He's recorded worship music albums and singles for Maranatha Music and Integrity Music, Brentwood, and Lifeway Worship. And every week around the world, choirs and churches are singing his songs. Tommy Walker's songs have been recorded by lots of other artists, including Paul Balazs, who was just on my show a few weeks ago. Ron Canole, Don Moen, Crystal Lewis, Alvin Slaughter, many others, Israel Houghton, have recorded Tommy Walker songs. He's had the privilege of leading worship with Christian leaders like Franklin Graham, Rick Warren, Jack Hayford, Joni Erickson Tada, Greg Laurie. He's held worship concerts and mercy ministry outreaches in more than 20 countries. Tommy graduated from Christ for the Nations Bible Institute with an associate's degree in practical theology. He has a degree in jazz and fusion guitar from the Musicians Institute. That's a big deal. He received an honorary doctorate of divinity from Life Pacific College and an honorary doctorate of music arts from Shepherd University. He's been nominated for a Dove Award, and he's just been contributing songs to the church and serving in the local church his whole life. Tommy and his wife Robin live in the Los Angeles area, and they have four children, and he's just a great guy. But the reason I reached out to Tommy was not because he's a famous worship leader or any of those things. I reached out to him for one specific reason, and before we got started with our conversation, he said, "Hey, how come you want to talk to me? I'm just a worship leader. Why do you want me on your Neuroscience Meets Faith podcast?" And before I told him the answer, I told him two stories about why I felt connected to him. The first one was as a little background for me, I was raised in a Protestant denomination, and basically we had a belief, a very narrow set of doctrinal positions, and we felt like if you didn't agree with us on those doctrinal positions, then you weren't saved. So we had this sort of very narrow view that we were the only ones that had figured out the formula to get to heaven. And, you know, to be fair, as I've talked about with other guests on the show, we weren't the only branch that felt that way. Of course, a lot of churches and denominations and religions in general think that they're the only ones who have it figured out. But I grew up in that and had this very strong notion. And I went to a Promise Keepers event, sort of almost against my will, with some friends in Pittsburgh. Then the event was held in Washington, D.C. And I can't remember if it was 1997 or 8 or 9, but in that era, and there was an event called Million Man March, where 1.2 million men went to this event in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. And during that, Tommy Walker played a song. He walked out on the stage and with an acoustic guitar and played a song called These Things Are True of You. And an unusual thing happened to me in my heart while I was hearing that song, because the lyrics are talking about God's character. They're listing attributes of God, and it goes unshakable, immovable, faithful and true, full of wisdom, strength, and beauty. These things are true of you. Patient, compassionate, righteousness shines through in all you do. Yet you're so humble, you laid down your life. These things are true of you. And as I heard Tommy sing those words, I felt like the Lord said to me, you know, he can't know those things about me unless he knows me. And for the first time in my life, I recognized that the teaching I had grown up with was incorrect, that our little branch couldn't be the only ones who understood and knew who Christ was, and therefore we couldn't be the only ones who were saved. And that really was a big deal in my personal theology and my personal life. and led to a lot of understanding of grace and mercy and a lot more understanding of who Jesus really is. And then the other story that I told Tommy was when I was in Iraq, you know, I was in the war and doing combat brain surgery and getting mortared every day. We had a little worship team. And as I told Paul Balash, we frequently played a medley of Tommy Walker's song called When All Is Said and Done and Paul Balash's song Above All. So Tommy's song goes, when all is said and done and everyone is gone, Lord, you're really all I want. When the best this world has just leaves me feeling numb, Lord, you're really all I want. All that I long for, all that I hope for, is just that sense of you coming near. All that my heart is hungry to have is just one more touch from your loving hand. When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. And then we would merge that into above all powers, above all thrones, above all kingdoms this world has ever known. You know, Paul Balash's song. And it was a great worship moment. But one of the things that happened while we were in Iraq is during those days, it wasn't easy to find chord charts for worship songs. You had to pay for them. And we were over there in the war, didn't have any access to charts, and we were wanting to sing some different songs. So just as a whim, I sent an email to Tommy's ministry in Los Angeles, and I didn't know if he got the email or who got it for him. And I just asked him if there was any way we could get some of his songs charts so we could teach the band how to play these songs, because his music is pretty complex musically. It's not easy to figure out some of the chords he uses. And they sent us a whole package of CDs and chord charts and songs and all of that for free just to support our work in the war. And I didn't even know if Tommy ever had even known about that. But so I told him those two stories, and you know, he was happy to understand how I was connected to him. But then I told him that the main reason why I wanted to talk to him, and that's why he agreed to be on the podcast. And here it is. Right now, all of us are feeling alone. It's easy to feel forgotten. We're isolated. And some of us are feeling really lonely, and some people are even maybe feeling forgotten, like nobody's thinking about them, especially elderly people or shut-ins or people in nursing homes. They might feel pretty alone and forgotten right now. And Tommy Walker has a story about an orphan boy that he met, and that boy just, it was so important to him to make sure that Tommy knew his name. He just wanted to know that somebody out there knew his name. And the story of that song that Tommy wrote about that encounter, I think, will help you and me remember that no matter how lonely we feel, God knows our name. He's always with us. And so I thought, you know, it would be so great to have Tommy on the show, tell us a little bit about his life and get to know him, but also to hear him tell in his own words the story of how he came to write the song, He Knows Your Name. And we're going to get to know Tommy Walker today. And as a very special treat, he recorded just with an acoustic guitar, a version of the song He Knows My Name, just for you, just for the listeners of the Dr. Lee Warren podcast today. We have a special performance of He Knows My Name by Tommy Walker himself. We're going to get to know Tommy today. And as always, we're going to start today. Hey, friend, I'm really glad to have you listening today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren. I live in Wyoming in the United States of America with my beautiful and incredible wife, Lisa Warren. I'm a neurosurgeon and an author, and I'm here to help you harness neuroscience, the power of your brain, faith, the power of your spirit, and good old common sense to help you lead a healthier, better, happier life. Listen, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and we're here to help you learn the art of self-brain surgery to get that done. You can get the show notes and more on my website at wleewarrenmb.com, and if you like the show, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're in 70 countries and all 50 states every week, and new people learn about the show when you share it with them. Check out my website, wleewarrenmd.com, and sign up for the newsletter. This is the Dr. Lee Warren Podcast, where we're changing our minds so we can change our lives. We got Tommy Walker with us today, so let's get after it. Hey, before we get started, Tommy, would you pray for us?
I'd love to.
Great.
Lord, what an honor to... I'm just in awe of your family, the body of Christ, that a neurosurgeon and a guitar player have you in common, so deeply in common, Lord. And just do pray that you said you'd bring your blessing where we live and dwell in unity. Pray that you'd bestow that blessing on us, Lord. Just guide our thoughts and our words, that somebody would be drawn closer to you through this simple recording, Lord. We're so grateful to be yours. And God, we, with just reverent, trembling gratefulness, we thank you on this Good Friday morning for the cross and for dying, not just for the world, but for us, so that we could be free today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tommy. Friends, we're here, and I'm really excited to have on my podcast today a worship leader and a songwriter that I've been following and singing his songs for, I guess, 25 years. Tommy Walker's with us today. Tommy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. I've never been on a neurosurgeon's podcast before.
Well, I don't know how many of us are podcasting out there, but, you know, my whole thing, the reason I started podcasting is back in 2013, we lost one of our children, Mitch, my son. And in the aftermath of that, journaling and then subsequently writing and blogging and all of that is a way to kind of work through. And we connected with hurting people all over the world. And it just occurred to me that, you know, if you're going to live and have hope again, you at some point you've got to move and start doing something. So I started writing and podcasting, and it turned out to be the kind of healing thing for us to connect with people all over the world. And now this this little ministry that we started in 2014 is people in 71 countries listened to it last week, and so it's kind of cool how it just gets out there, you know. But I reached out to you, I told you before, and I'll mix that into this part of the show, but I told you why I reached out to you, but I have for a long time wanted to have an opportunity to speak to you. And, I'm really, thankful that you took the time to be with us today.
I'm telling you, I just think it's the most beautiful thing that a neurosurgeon and a guitar player, worship leader, have in common, our Lord.
That's right.
And Christian faith, and that the bonds of His Spirit are deep, and I'm grateful for it.
That's right. Me too. Hey, tell us your story. How did you become a worship leader? And tell us a little bit about your journey.
I was brought up in a Christian home, and when I was 11 years old, in the midst of a worship service, I just sensed the presence of God for the first time, and just a sense of calling on my life. Even as an 11 year old boy, I just wanted my life to matter more than for the next 70 years. And I gave my life to Him. And in that same year, I started playing guitar. And I thought that when you learn to play guitar, the reason you learn to play guitar is to write songs. So the minute I could play three chords, I wrote my first song. And and it's amazing to think that it's been such a part of my life, my whole life, guitar and writing songs. I haven't stopped since. So then fast forward a whole bunch of years, I started leading worship at a church in Los Angeles and started writing worship songs for my church. And those songs started finding their way in a lot of different places, evidently, and amidst battles and wars and whatnot, which you can tell us about. And just still trying to do it to this day. I guess that's the short version.
That's amazing. So your profession has always been related to the church and music, then, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And just trying to help people. You know, one of the most powerful things about worship is it helps people declare the truth, you know. And every day we're combated with to give up on our faith and to doubt and to turn away and to believe the lies of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I hear those lies.
Yeah,
you should give up. You're nothing. Who do you think you are? And you're a failure, and all those kind of things. But that's not what the Lord says about us. And He's the God of hope, and He's the God who is a Father who wants the best for us and believes in us and empowers us. And so when you sing, and especially when you sing scripture, you're able to say, and you know, singing is powerful because it takes your whole being. It requires the muscles in your voice. It requires your mind and your body and your heart.
Yeah.
And to declare that he is good, he is worthy. You know, we give you praise, Lord. You are the one who forgives sins. You're the one who died on the cross for me, who's coming back for me. You're saying all these true things, and it's powerful. So when I write songs, I try to make them very personal responses of worship to God, so that the, not me, but the other people, everyone else out there in the same action, is declaring the truth over their life.
Yeah, I love it. You've got a lot of different musical influences. I mean, you from some sort of rock to sort of folk to like calypso, reggae kind of stuff in some of your music. Like, what's your journey as a guitar player?
Yeah, well, I think just as a, I don't know, a personality trait or whatever, I'm just, I have a very eclectic taste kind of in everything, like food, and I like to drive home a different way every day. I like variety.
Yeah.
So, you know, I grew up so grateful. My family would gather around the piano and sing hymns. In fact, my mom had a grand piano, and I'd fall asleep under her grand piano listening to her play the hymns.
Wow.
And so I grew up with that. And then when I was a teenager, you know, I was listening to the radio and what was happening in the 70s and the Eagles and different groups like that. And then I started studying jazz guitar later. And I Andre Crouch was a gospel artist that was a huge influence on me, and R&B and then when I came to California, it was interesting. There was a group in the 80s called Koinonia, and it had a lot of LA session players in it. And they were Christians, and they would play this amazing instrumental music. Well, one of the guys, Justo Almario, the sax player in that group, was the one that kind of led me to my church. He was on the worship team there. And anyways, just a world-renowned, to this day, go check him out, world-renowned, especially Latin jazz musician and soloist. And so all these Latin jazz influences came to me when I came here and was learning these rhythms. So I like to try to influence people to worship God in lots of different ways. And I love the nations, and I love the thought of all the different sounds. And even in Revelation, it speaks of the nations coming before the throne. So I think God loves diversity and cultures and styles. And so I try to keep that coming in all of my writing.
That's awesome. You know, speaking of the nations, this is a time, a really unprecedented time that I can think of, especially as a medical provider. I don't know that, in fact, I know that there's never been a time in my career when the whole world, like every healthcare provider in the world, is thinking about the same problem right now. We're all dealing with COVID-19, and everybody on the planet is feeling the same stuff, right? We're isolated, we're alone, our jobs are turned upside down, our churches are closed. Like it's really affected every aspect of everybody's life. And so one of the reasons for the timing of me reaching out to you was that people, as they're feeling isolated, it's easy to feel alone and to hear those lies of the enemy. And one of those is that you don't matter to anybody. You know, nobody's thinking about you. You're not important. And you wrote a song years ago called He Knows My Name. And the story behind that song, I think, might help people right now feel like, you know, God really does know your name. So can you tell us a little bit about that song? And
yeah, that is certainly one of the hugest lies of the enemy, is to isolate and to think you're the only one, and what you're going through, no one's ever gone through, and the loneliness you're experiencing, you think no one knows. And one of the most beautiful, powerful things of our Christian faith is that the God of the universe, who created everything that was and is to come, personally knows us.
Yeah.
So my pastor wrote a sermon called He Knows My Name. So I I wrote a song, a very simple song connected to that. But right after that, we went on a trip to the Philippines, and I was staying in an orphanage for 3 days there. And there was a little boy named Jerry who introduced himself to me. And Jerry was, he was amongst the poorest of the poor, very poor, and just abandoned as a baby and taken in by this Christian woman in this orphanage.
Wow.
And so he introduced himself to me. The next day he comes up to me, he says, "Tommy, what's my name?" And I said, "God help me remember this orphan's name." I said, "Your name's Jerry."
Yeah.
And he said, "We're friends, right?" I said, "That's right, Jerry, we're friends." So then the next day he comes running up to me, "Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, what's my name?" And I said, "Your name's Jerry. You know I know your name." And he smiled real big and he says, "We're friends, right?" And I said, "That's right, Jerry." And a few hours later, again, "Tommy, what's my name?" And then I realized that Jerry, being one of the most unknown people, I don't even know if he knew his last name. He just wanted to hear the sound of his name.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted to know that he was known.
Yeah.
And so I was able to tell him, "Jerry, I know you. You are my friend. I pray I never forget you, but there's one much greater than you, the one who created you. And by the way, the one who doesn't consider you to be an accident or a problem," which some people had accused him of being, "but the one who loves you eternally." And I've just been able to go to many places in the world and sing this song and remind people that you're not forgotten.
Right.
You know, people, you don't have to be a poor orphan in a developing nation to feel alone and to feel forgotten and to feel unknown. I mean, in your people and their marriages, in their family. I mean, I'm thinking right now in this crazy time, how many millions of people literally you're alone in your home right now listening to this podcast, but you're not alone. And there's a God who knows you and loves you and is calling your name. And you are precious, precious, hear me, precious to him.
Yeah.
And he does know your name. I mean, just to know that the God who made you knows your name, there's something so healing and so powerful in that. And so that's the story of the song, and it goes on and on. And it's been amazing through the years to see how many actually orphanages have had choirs and meetings, and they'll send me stories and videos of people who would be in the forgotten category, even though we all feel forgotten, that have been touched and sing that song.
Wow. Well, it's made an impact around the world, and it's amazing to hear you tell it in your own words. Tommy, I appreciate you doing that.
I have a maker. He formed my heart. Even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees that falls and hears me when I call, and hears me when I call.
You know, there was a time when I was in Iraq and we were leading worship, and we made this little medley out of two songs, Paul Balash's Above All, and your When All Is Said and Done. And we would start worship with just this quiet time of He took the fall and thought of me above all. And when all is said and done and everyone is gone, Lord, you're really all I want. And we would see these soldiers come in off the battlefield, and they were armored up, and they had their rifles and their helmets and their Kevlar, and they were tight, you know, intense. And we would see them start to relax as worship played out, and they would put their gun down, and they would take their body armor off, and they would take their helmet off, and they would start to raise their hands. And then you could just see them, like, worship was the thing that got them out of battle mode and into relaxing and receiving mode. And I think people need to feel that right now. You know, like, we've been in this battle mode. We're worried about this virus and this stuff we can't see, and we're being attacked, and our economy's under fire, and we need to worship, right? It's Good Friday. So, I mean, what does that say to you? Like,
that's right. You know, it's an interesting thing about worship is when you know, we're speaking of a song that affirms that God knows us, but even when we just sing worship songs that just are directly vertical to God about how good he is, about great is his faithfulness and how powerful he is, just songs that magnify and glorify him, and we fix our eyes on him and our attention on him, everything off of us and on him, how in the act of doing it, in the midst of doing that, God is healing us and assuring us of all those things and those attributes about him being true for us. And so, yes, as a worship leader, let me remind you to be a worshiper in this time. It is quite a weapon, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, the story of David and Goliath, you know, they say back in that day before the battle, they would call it boasting, you know, and the two leaders of the would get up there and say, "You think you're bad? We're really bad. We're gonna, you know." And David says, "I come against you in the name of the Lord." He was not speaking of his power, but God's power, and it was a story of God really fighting his battle for him through the declaration of God's power and goodness. So, yeah, get your worship music on, or just worship. In fact, I'm gonna do a live stream worship set tonight here in my house. And
cool.
And I just encourage that.
Got to send me that link. We'll send it out there to the folks. That's good. What church are you with now, Tommy?
It's a Foursquare Church in Los Angeles. It's just a generic name called Christian Assembly. It's actually an old church, over 100 years old.
Yeah.
Right here in Los Angeles. And, just to show my age a bit, I've been there for 30 years.
Wow. The CA Worship Band. Those albums were a long time ago. So, and what are y'all doing these days, recording-wise? Yeah. What's your next project?
Well, in 2015, I actually started a nonprofit just so that I could start giving away everything I do.
Wow.
So instead of trying to sell music anymore, which is hard to do anyways, but also because of my love for the nations, we just started TommyWalkerMinistries.org. And then so you can get charts and tracks to play with, and anything that we have, you can come to the website and just take it for free.
Cool.
And use it. And people from all over the world, praise God, are taking advantage of it. And because we're working at building our donor base, anyone can take it for free. And so that's what I've been up to lately. You can hear and see the song, most of them, on YouTube. Some of my older songs were slowly making tracks available so people can lead them. And anyways, since I've been quarantined here, I have a third hymns project I'm going to be doing in the fall, Lord willing.
Yeah.
And I've literally been singing and working on hymns day and night for the last few weeks. And so
that's
what's coming next.
That's great. So if Tommy Walker Ministries is a nonprofit, then people can donate, right?
Yes, sir.
Tax deductible. So we'll put your links up. So anybody out there that's wanting to spend some of their spiritual gifts and funding on a really worthy cause, I think equipping worshipers across the globe would be a great way to spend some of the gifts that God has given us. So we'll make sure we share that out to everybody around the world. Tommy, do you have a word for how people are feeling, what people can, scripture or something people can latch on to right now for us?
I guess it's just one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may
dwell in the house of the Lord.
And gaze, I'm saying it wrong, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord.
Yeah.
And inquire in his temple all the days of my life. I'm sorry I messed that up. But it's amazing. It's mainly where we set our gaze and fix our eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And just encourage you, you know, worshiping has a lot to do with gazing and looking. And just to, I mean, you're all about, I've heard your thing, you can't change your life till you change your mind.
Yep.
I have a song called Let's Think About Our God.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about him and ponder and meditate and to ultimately, that's like, I guess what I'm saying, don't forget the weapon that worship is.
Yeah.
And to really worship him every day in the midst of this this virus.
No, that's perfect. Well, I asked you for about half an hour. We're right at that now. And I'm really grateful, Tommy, to kind of meet you face-to-face digitally. I love this technology. We're able to connect with folks in a really unprecedented way. And I think your story is going to help a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the right word is congratulations or all glory to God, but sure it's great that you're having such a growing reach all over the world. And
thank you.
And it's so beautiful to see once again how God is redeeming in so many ways your grief and your loss and pain.
Yeah.
And I pray that for anybody listening now, that he's the great redeemer and wants to redeem even this crazy virus. And I'm praying that he'll bring good out of it and revival out of it. And
that's right.
And blessing and healing out of it. So
yeah, you wrote a song, Morning Into Dancing, that kind of covers that same idea, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Man, that's perfect. Tommy Walker, longtime favorite worship leader, songwriter of mine, and now a new friend. And thank you so much for your time today, Tommy.
Honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you. Wow, that was a great conversation with Tommy Walker. I hope you were blessed by his words and his music. I love that he recorded that song for us. I'm going to play it again at the end. Once I fade the show soundtrack, I'll play that again just so you can have it. Tommy Walker, just great. He knows your name. Listen, friend, in times of trouble, don't forget that your God knows your name. He is with you, and you are never alone. Isaiah 43:1-3 says this, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.'" God knows your name, friend. So let that ease your loneliness and start today. Thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren Podcast is brought to you by I've Seen the End of You, a neurosurgeon's look at faith, doubt, and the things we think we know, available from Waterbrook, Penguin Random House, everywhere books are sold. Don't forget to support your local booksellers. Hey, you can subscribe to the show so you automatically get every episode. So wherever you listen to podcasts, please subscribe and share it with your friends, because that's how new people find out about the show. And don't forget, Lisa and I love to connect with you on the socials. I am at Dr. Lee Warren, at DrLeeWarren, and Lisa is at Lisa D. Warren on Twitter and Instagram. We love to connect. You can email me, lee@drleewarren.com. I try to respond to every email personally. And we can always go to my website, wleewarrenmd.com. That's wleewarrenmd.com for more information about my letter, this show, my books, and more. The show notes will be up. I'll have links to Tommy Walker's ministry. Please consider supporting him and the great work that he's doing to equip worship leaders across the world at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. The theme music for this show is Blue Highway by Poddington Bear, available at freemusicarchive.org. And remember, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and you have to start today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, WLeeWarrenMD.com. God bless you, my friend, and have a great day. Stay tuned. In just a second, I'm going to play the special edition of Tommy Walker's He Knows Your Name just for you. Okay, one of my all-time favorite worship songs, and I butchered the name. It's not He Knows Your Name, although he does. It's more personal than that. Tommy Walker's song is He Knows My Name, and he recorded a special edition of it just for you on the Dr. Lee Warren podcast. Take it away, Tommy.
I have a maker. He formed my heart. Even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees that falls and hears me when I call, and hears me when I call.